Good morning, members.
I'm doing a good one.
This morning I'm Alex Stone. I'm on Agriculture, Forestry and Fishery for Florida. Morning all, I'm Denise Robinson and I'm from Lagos, from Bernard Lee and France.
My name is Ben Mohammed, the Commissioner of the National Consumer Commission.
My name is Prudence Miller, Head of Enforcement at the National Consumer Commission.
Portfolio Commission Agriculture for the Commission.
my interest in any parliamentary mushroom group.
Good morning, Dr. Dia. Please on agriculture.
Good morning, I'm Peter McCollum from the Department of Agriculture and Tradition.
Morning, I'm Bettina Kakata from Peter Agriculture Post in the Service.
My name is Laura. We don't do this often that we have everybody introduced. We also get to know some of the usual culprits who come to this election. We never get to ask them who they are, and today we get to know. And good morning, sir. You just arrived. If you don't mind, just quickly, who you are, which organization? Thank you, sir. We're going to have a very short meeting, 11:30, quarter of 12. So the intention is for us to be out of this place. And the history having been made, as I said, special day, 21st of June, and a new day, the year 2013. Let's make a better outreach. We only have one action, as you said. There are many areas that we need to cooperate with the together with the health department or health culture. Among others, we have been talking with Dr. Kokwan about the GMOs, among others. We have been talking, it's a matter of scheduling scheduling time for us to get together. And after looking on that, there have been issues raised, has raised even in the debate some of those issues. The member from ACDP also has raised some issues of concern. even yesterday, as I was listening, so I was even making a statement of the same issues on GMO. Members, without waste of time, we have called on this meeting, as I said earlier, as a follow-up. We are expecting a plan going forward, which is what we did say last time we met, that let's find each other, let's coordinate, let's collaborate. Without waste of time,
thank you, Chair and Honourable Members. I am going to be providing the reports from the three departments. And I will take you through, we have provided the report, and I'll take you through the presentation. Let me say, Chair, up front that we recognize the inadequacies in our coordination systems, in the food control systems in the country. And the key message basically is we would want to move towards the harmonization, the integration, so that we can restore and maintain the public confidence in our control systems on food safety measures. The presentation that I will present to you is based on the response from the three departments jointly, as requested by the joint sitting of the portfolio committees in March this year on the food control gaps that have been identified. And we were instructed as the three departments to develop an action plan on how food control collaboration would work as we proceed. Indeed, there was a meeting that was held by the representatives of the three departments. There was a one-day seminar that considered the challenges and proposed solutions on the controls, and this seminar was held in May, and it went on to identify challenges in the food value chain in the country and propose an action plan to address the challenges. Over 100 people, 118 delegates attended this from the various sectors. And there were five focus groups that discussed and presented the various challenges as they chains in the food sector in South Africa, and in the trade department has become increasingly more complex and is not recognition. And that in South Africa, there's a multiple departmental food control system with the fragmentation of the legislation on the structures, on the function, has not been effective in responding strategically to the increased scope and the complexity with the new structures and initiatives, resulting in the current control operational challenges. The elements of our food control system includes the laws and regulations, the food control management, services, particularly the inspection services, laboratory services, the food monitoring and epidemiological data, the information, education, the communication, and the training. Now, the aspects that are proposed by government departments to address these issues emanating from that seminar was included among other recognition, the investigation that's conducted by the National Consumer Commission, the multidisciplinary nature of the actions that are required for optimal food safety and control, the previous attempts that were aimed at addressing the desperate system for food control in the country, and the critical role that needs to be played by the private sector. And of course, that is the need to restore the consumer confidence in the food supply chain, both locally and beyond our borders. And that is the need to act, both in the short and the medium and the long term, and take some action. And to ensure also that there is an effective penalty system to dissuade those who are not behaving correctly within the food industry. And the proposal by government departments, the three departments, with the input from the industry to address these challenges are provided, and I'll go through them briefly. There is a table that shows the various challenges, post interventions and the actions that would follow. The first one, of course, is that there is a need for a high level decision to ensure the strengthening of the food safety controls. And we agree that there is a need for a cabinet level approval to strengthen the food safety control oversight in the South African infrastructure through the configuration of the Ministerial Cluster. And we need to process this through the cluster system at the cabinet for possibility of an interministerial committee. Secondly, on the challenge of the fragmentation of the food control authorities, there is a need to establish an interdepartmental food safety coordinating committee. On the challenge of the capacity, limited capacity for appropriate scientific inputs and decision-making process, the proposed intervention is to ensure that there is a scientific advisory group under the Interdepartmental Food Safety Coordinating Committee. On the lack of integrated strategies and capacity on food laboratories, we propose to appoint an advisory group on the laboratories as a subcommittee of the Interdepartmental Food Safety Coordinating Committee. The challenge that was raised on the identified on the lack of capacity to conduct the animal species quantitative analysis, that we would need to identify laboratories and institutions that would be responsible for leading on the quantification of species DNA traces. There was a challenge also identified on the requested approval of an official traceability and record policy and system. And the proposal, of course, is to establish a committee of inspection and a subcommittee also of the Interdepartmental Food Safety Coordination Committee. The challenge that was identified on the fragmentation and coordination National Subcommittee throughout the country. On the challenge identified on the fragmented food inspections, compromising enforcement and compliance, we recognize that there is a need that we will review the food inspection system within the three departments. On the challenge of inadequate information, education and communication to the consumer on food safety and control matters, the coordinating committee, the Departmental Food Safety Coordinating Committee, will develop a communication strategy and train on the food safety and food control matters. There was a challenge also identified on the need to broaden access and participation between the public and private sector on the sanitary and phytosanitary matters, that we would develop an electronic physical coordination mechanism between the National Space Committee and all the interested stakeholders. On the need to improve our controls, that we develop the mechanism for exchange of information among the various regulators and increase the capacity at the port of entry. The challenges are also about identifying the insufficient specialized legal expertise on food safety and food control methods, that we will establish specialized support legal teams on food laws that we and those share the challenges were identified at this consultative seminar, and there were proposals which we have processed that made ultimately between us as a trade department that these are the strategies and the interventions we have to bring in. This mechanism, of course, they have to be processed through our government systems, and we believe once this are finalized and approved, we will then develop a more detailed action plan which one the resource to be able to implement completely. The benefit of this approach, of course, is that it will ensure uniform and consistent application of the protection measures. It will ensure the ability to act decisively and protect our consumers. But it will also ensure that the single source of information in the general community. There will also be an improved efficiency and more effective use of the resources and expertise. And I just want to conclude, Chair, basically we will also ensure that the food controls, the sorting of the food controls, is of utmost importance to meet the current and the future realities of our public health challenges in the quest for economic development. And we, although we have not put immediately the time frames, but that's the action plan that we are proposing to work on, and we believe once the formal approvals are done within government, we will then put both the resources and the time frames to it and work adequately on that plan. And as I say, we recognize the need to move towards a coordinated, harmonized systems and structures for our controls to ensure that there is able to restore that confidence on the safety measures. Thank you, Chair. I would just want to say, Chair, having concluded, Dr. Ntabile was leading the task team that has been working between the three departments. Colleagues, when the questions are raised, of course, from jointly, we will address the issues that will be raised by the members. Thank you, Chair.
You want to take
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Honorable. I think maybe the most important thing I need to put across is that we are aware that what we're presenting is more a framework as opposed to detail. And there's reasons. What we're trying to do is to get ourselves to look ahead and say how best can we forever resolve all the food safety problems that we have. We could have easily gone and built in on the meat between each, but that doesn't necessarily resolve the long-term problems with regards to food control. And so, on our members, what we are asking is that let's look beyond this as a meat-based issue, but let's look at total food control in South Africa and how best we can resolve it.
Any additions for health and credit minister?
We also entered in this process almost parallel each other department having had small support for active initiatives or actions. Case in point being your credit industry and the Consumer Commission that had to do all sorts of investigations. Whether it was premature or those feedbacks or not, we shall guide it.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Honourable colleagues. The investigation is still underway, and we have made certain observations, obviously, and from the presentation that has just been made, and from some of the observations that the investigation team has already observed, I think it's moving in the right direction. So I can't go, obviously, into detail with some of the observations now, because obviously the investigation is not final, and it would be premature to comment on some of the findings, because obviously the investigators still need to test some of the information that has been added into the record of the of the investigation. So at this stage, from the investigation side, it's still ongoing. We hope that at least by the first week of July, the investigation will be complete, and we would be able to start working on a comprehensive report that will include findings and recommendations. Thank you.
Of interest in this process as well, it has to be an understanding as to where does culture come, where does culture end. Cycle of meat safety. Where does health come and where does health end? And where does the credit industry come and where does it end? So that there is a clearer view of understanding as to, you know, what role is being played by who in this zoo of meat. To understand, you are to get into such an exercise, you give a clear picture of what is happening as we speak now. you have all these departments having a role to play in one way or another. That's one part. Another part also, when it comes to any transgressions being committed by industry players. You know, you have a scenario where in your credit department, this is not my domain, how, you know, well or not. In the olden days, you used to have what was referred to as health inspectors. You know, roughly they would get into any store. And then, the day and age, you have your consumer protection. Within credit industry. So it's also important for us as well. It is to apprehend the wrongdoer. Equally important, it is for consumers to be able to know exactly what it is that they are consuming. So that you do not have your Muslim who is said to be we do not get to mesh for sake of meshing. We're not about media, we're not about any of those things. We're doing our work, overtime work. That you do not have any collaboration within government, also should accept the fact that part of our work must be to force or enforce departments to collaborate. You are now indicating that you have some structure that you are pulling up and that should look into all these issues in a collaborative manner. That is everything. Very short, precise to the point. If there is to be any comments, questions, it's the same person.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for the presentation. Chair, I took note of the reference that this is basically a framework. Chair, but I must say I'm disappointed. I think, Chair, there's a real need out there for some immediate action at and I asked last time and I'm going to ask again. But the Department of Health did their own investigation then, after we got the report from the university. Let me just back one thing. Check. I'm disappointed in the first place that we had to get the information from the university in the first place. I'm disappointed that government did not play their role in ensuring that we had safe food in South Africa. So the fact that we got that information, and Jay, I asked the question, when did this thing hit Europe? I asked our own Department of Agriculture a written question. And how safe is our meat product in South Africa? Is it regularly tested? Everything was fine, Jay. No problem at all. So I want to know, how the three departments in your different capacities, what did you do at that stage when you heard about what was going on in Europe? Did you start making proactive investigations? Were you looking at or did you wait until we got reports from the University of the Western Cape and the University of Stellenbosch? Was that the first time that you actually woke up, or did some alarm bells ring for that? Even before that, I can't imagine that no one from the consumer groups and people that hear that worry about our food safety and what's going on, I've ever written to any of the departments to complain about things that happened. I've had many people contacting me after this being checked to say that this has been going on for years. All kinds of practices that wrong. And people just turn the blind eye. So I'm really upset, Chair, that we got this sometimes maybe to get something. I wanted some. We see some checks. All we need is an example of someone that's not doing what they're supposed to do, and people will be a bit more worried. Because it's got an impact on a whole massive lot of things here. It's not only the safety, it's all about the disaster. The fact that consumers are being cheated because of the labeling issue. Food are being put in there that in the first place maybe not safe, maybe definitely cheap for those people, that's why they're doing it, and all kinds of things. So to come here with something to say, then I'm trying to thank you that you just come back within a specified time period. I'm not thankful for that because most of you don't even get that. So thank you that you just come back. But I'm really not happy that, you know, there's not one step that you can take immediately within the next week or 2 weeks or something, or at least hear something that has happened. And maybe it's still just a way for the Consumer Commission. But I'm wanting to, the Department of Health must come out with their own findings and say to the country, this is what we found. We can't just wait for it forever. And then what also affects me is that if you speak to the Department of Rural Development Land Reform, they will tell you that the biggest challenge that they have is coordination with the department, different departments. Although that is why the Department of Rural Development Land Reform was actually put together, to make sure that they can coordinate the department before this year. That is their biggest struggle, because every department wants their own thing. So, who is taking responsibility? At least I wanted to see. There is something that's mentioned here on this document that we got, the report that says the Department of Agriculture will be the main role player or something like that. But at least I wanted to know which department will be the main driver of the thing. So that we, as playing oversight role, would know where to start, because now we're sitting with the same situation. Nothing for us as church. Every department is all responsible, but no one is responsible. So at least we wanted to know the Department of Agriculture or the Department of whoever will be the main role player. We can drive you every 3 months and say, come and report. How far are you? Where are you in the processes? With what we have to, we don't know where to follow. We don't know who to ask, because we want. I've had it. I'll ask a question to the Department of Health. Department of Health will say no, it's with the Department of Agriculture. Then we'll ask the Department of Agriculture, no, it's with the Department of CDI. So we can't even follow up on anything. That's why the question check. Who do we chase? Let's talk about carrot and the stick. We have a carrot the other day here. And the stick. We need also to know where to stick. But if we don't even know who is the person, no, that's, I'm really frustrated with this chair. We need someone to be chased. Then, chairperson, I would really like to hear something from Tash. I'm very happy that there's someone here. Because I think this is a vital role in the whole investigation. I've asked some questions to the Department of Agriculture for meat importation to the country. Because if you go back to the meat labeling panel, for me, that was the first question. Where do we get this meat that's not produced in South Africa from in the first place? So it comes into millions and millions and billions of tons into South Africa. Where does it end up? Has anyone asked the question ever? So why are we so amazed when we found this food in our meat in the first place? If it comes into the country in not in small little batches, ships, it must go in somewhere. Now, I would like to hear from the department, from Sash, what's your role in all this? Where do you fit into this Yermakar structure that I don't fully understand how this practice fits into itself? And maybe that's it. And then, Chairperson, just lastly, I've asked a question to the Department of Agriculture. And I got a very, very question back on the importation of meat products from Brazil and India. And the answer clearly states that there's a ban at the moment for stock. We need to know why. Why were imports stopped? If we don't know why, we will still ask the questions, and I will keep on asking these questions, yet. But if I can't say it was stopped, with no reason why, I'll stop there. I'll give other people a chance to share.
Thank you, Mamustin. I think I've got two members that I was returning, because and Mom Prisan. I say welcome Honorable Abraham and welcome Makanya. Welcome Mamukanya. I think it's going to be Unkos and then Mom Prisan. But when I always know that there are three ways of knowing something can react into it, but you must understand we're doing an oversight. You either get, if you're very brilliant in this world, you think ahead and you think that if this happens, this is what I'll do. Or if you are not that brilliant, then you only know that you have not been moving in the right direction when there's a disaster. When the disaster happens, you start knowing that, look, I should have done something. Then if you are low down, you wait until a very big tragedy happens. Then you start waking up and saying there's something. It seems there's something, but let's separate the two things. being investigated. On the other side, that has made us know that there are bigger problems, bigger challenges than what we're seeing. So we attempt to put up a strategy. But in putting up that strategy, I think one of the things that becomes very important is to, in the meantime, that you figure out that there's a problem. What are you doing? What are you waiting for your strategy to come? Which is what I think is coming from the members, that they're very frustrated, understandably so. So we just have to know where to go. It's good that, fortunately, I mean, mislabeling some of the things, especially the need, is not dangerous as far as health is concerned. But you need to know what you're eating. For cultural reasons, for religious reasons, you need to know what they eat. Even if I eat donkey meat, I'm not going to die from it. But I need to know that I'm eating donkey meat, and I make my own decision that I'm eating donkey meat. I don't need to be cheated for whatever reason somebody cheats me. There is it. I thought we had met a reference.
Thank you, Chairperson, to both of our chairperson. I'm tempted, Chairperson, to make comments that might not be palatable to some of the DXs. When I was still at school, apparently I went to school when I was already above age. So there was a young teacher who taught us. He used to tell us in the class, I was doing from Form 1 1978. He used to tell us that South Africa is a dumping site for the first world country. I'm tempted to believe, Chairperson, that what I'm hearing from the presentation is exactly what I meant, what I was taught in the class. In the first place, Chairperson, if the departments are coming up with the proposals, what has been there before? What did they have in their department? As the department is responsible for simply that the food that they're eating is safe. And Chairperson, South Africa, as I've said, and then that it happens for the present planet. The fact that whatever we export is scrutinized in such a way that for just a little amount of the what is called is stopped by the foreign countries. Recently, we learned in the media that they stopped importing our oranges because of these red ones on the oranges. Black, red, pink or white. But those goals resulted in our exports by Western countries. And the ocean meat was once affected by certain diseases, the ocean. They did not even involve themselves just to find out which province of South Africa that has the problem. Because ocean is not only in the Western Cape. There are problems which have ocean. We might have been allowed to export their product. But the whole production from South Africa was stopped. And this question then tells me that obviously the officials have been sort of in such a relaxed mood since they came to office. Even those who are said to be commissioners, they should have maybe assisted the department in as far as seems to be that whatever we get, South Africa imported from the country is scrutinized and checked so that we don't eat whatever that is brought to South Africa. Chairperson, I think for several times I've been raising this issue in the committee. It's a gift, and we were told there is nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with GMOs because it's only seeds that are and meant to resist drought and challenges like insects. But since the West has started now rejecting GMO, it's an issue. But we talked about this in 2010, 2011, 2011. So that's why I was just saying, Jacobs, I don't have a question, but it's only the comments that I want to make. Lastly, Chairperson, I want to raised the issue of the control of the imports, most especially fruits that are taken from the country. I thought there was the issue of controlling the insects on the import. I even pointed out we are now having an import of the lizard sort of creature that are helping in our house and rooms in the state. This is just a new thing to South Africa. I only know an older lizard that stays outside the house or whatever. But now we're having this, what are our proposals? To find them, moving around in the house, taking the insects. Those are the foreign things. They were brought in simply because those kinds of, instead of using certain chemicals for those insects, they use those creatures to sort of eat insects inside. They are experts. So, Shepard, I think there's still a lot that our researchers, our department should involve themselves in, so that we don't end up being hyenas, being scavengers, like hyenas and pigs, which don't know anything that has a distaste on their tongue. They simply eat whatever is in front of them. Thank you, Shepard.
Thank you.
you are going to be judged by what you have done. My question is, Chair, that you have been away now for some months. I think we are going close on to a year. When we had the Red Beach Industry Forum before us, we had to resort to bringing senior counsel. Because they don't come cheap. They say that Jeremy Gauntlet is a hell of a good counsel, but he comes at a price. And they brought senior counsel to make representations because they had failed with departments. State departments are there to see that they act proactively. What we are now busy doing, Jefferson, is we are reacting to situations created as a result of the lack of proper surveillance. If proper surveillance was in place, we wouldn't have been sitting here arguing about these things. Why must it be here? And that's what hurts me. That the ordinary consumer, the ordinary people of this country, must resort to legal assistance before they are going to be heard. So, I'm saying this, Chair, because there are three departments here today. It is necessary that we start doing what the Constitution has mandated us to do. The Constitution has created an administration. The Constitution created a statutory organization called the Parliament of the Republic of South Africa. It has created the executive to rule this country. We are supposed to be doing, and what we have, why we are here today is because we have failed to do that. Now, Chairperson, as we said here, who is monitoring what is being slaughtered this very moment at the hundreds of abattoirs throughout the country? Who is monitoring whether the animals are slaughtered on the one hand in a humane manner, important, and on the other hand, in a hygienic manner? Who is doing it, Chairperson? And this is where our problems come from. Because what we are consuming here locally, Chair, we don't know how it is being monitored. So I would like to hear who is responsible for the monitoring. If animals involved, Department of Health may say that no, but it is the function of the Department of Agriculture. If it's foodstuffs made out of plant material, it also says no, but it's their responsibility. If it's fish, oh no, it's agriculture's responsibility. So, you know, we say in Afrikaans, we gaan pasta. Who's going to take responsibility and accept the fact that you are mandated to do so? Chairperson, the other issue here is that I haven't heard what I'm hearing are the good intentions, as I say. I haven't heard what we have done since these things became public knowledge. What have we done up to now? I expected to be told today that since these things hit the headlines, this is what we have done to at least repel the damage, to limit the damage. Because how sure are we that as we sit here, our people outside are eating stuff that they should not be eating? We don't know that. Okay, we've got another situation in the country. I'm a Muslim. In a couple of months' time, we celebrate the sacrifice that Prophet Abraham made. And we slaughter thousands of animals. But it is upon the slaughterer, the one that's making the sacrifice, to see that he or she, when handing that meat out, gives out meat that is clean, tall, palatable, and fresh. But now let's take the commercial enterprise, a profit-driven enterprise. are they committed to the same levels, the same standards? That's highly questionable. Those that have a brand will want to protect the brand and will probably spend the necessary additional funds to see that their product reaches the market and the shelves of supermarkets in the type of condition that customers would return for that product. But then, to their question, it is important that that be monitored. Now, we have an organization in the country, we call themselves the Association of Meat Importers and Exporters. I know DGI is facing a problem with them at the moment. But the question, these people are business people. They are profit-oriented, of all due respects. And they will source a commodity from anywhere in the world at the best possible price. I mean, that's how business works. And try and maximize profits. Who monitors the imports that come in? And these are the problems here. The Honorable Joint Chairperson that is chairing at the moment, Chair, mentioned some of these possible tragedies that can occur. So we must become, Chairperson, an administration that must pride itself in being proactive. And not an, I want it to be said that the ANC administration of today is one that is proactive. That it is running the country in a manner that it obviates as many possible problems that may arise. That is what I would like to see. And I want to sadly say that that is not what I am seeing. Can we commit ourselves and tell this meeting that, as we said here today, there were inspection services on the go throughout the country, that the food that's being slaughtered today and prepared today will be food that is guaranteed to be clean, pure, and its contents are not contaminated in any way? I'm afraid we can't do that, Chair. I'm afraid we can't. And we are letting down our people. One of our members complained that if you go to our rural areas, Chair, where you have a Smulanyana supermarket, and you buy chicken, frozen chicken there, and you let your children eat that chicken, they say that, don't look at the children today in the rural areas, Chair. They are abnormally overweight. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. I would suggest that I'm always missing their brain. Their brain can take up so much, and not so much. I'm saying from my profession. But you could probably give them something that they are in a very short period of time. They must concentrate with.
I do understand that from this report that the three departments came up with a technical which gave interest. And thereafter, the Department of Agriculture, for example, undertook its own now resulted on an ad hoc committee. The relationship now between the technical committee and the ad hoc committee, what is the relationship now? Because this is the Department of Agriculture product, this ad hoc committee, which consists of government and private sector. And also who have been assigned to operate in the aperture.
repeat what has been said, because I concur with a lot of what my colleague said here, and also Honourable Evans. But I just, I have many concerns about these pesticides and GMO. And I just want to say that at the moment I'm holding back, because I have got a lot of questions and a lot of observations, but it may have been said already. But the point is that I didn't receive this documentation in advance. And I do really want to ask that when we call meetings, that you make sure that all committee members are fully informed in advance. One can't possibly scan everything, understand it within the 5 minutes before the meeting. So could we please just make sure that the coordination is proper? And I think this is one of the problems that we have with coordination throughout the country with all these departments. There are regulations, they're supposed to be health inspectors, there's supposed to be so many things happening, but the actual implementation is the problem. But yeah, I'll leave it at that for the moment. I may follow up at a later stage or have some written questions too, but really that's for the moment.
Thank you very much. I think those are the questions. But what you must understand is that when you get employed, you apply for a job, you say, I'm there to apply for a job. And then you get, they accept you on what you have said. These members, they don't apply for a job. They go and tell people that I'll send for you. And this is what effective they're doing. They are worried that the people that protested you are not getting fair share. It's even worse when you think that South Africa is not the dumping type of the other country and we're not doing anything about it. So do understand their frustration when they are asking those questions. So there's one area that I'm not friends with them, I don't like them. Let me say it. I don't like fans, but this is one time that I like them, so that I can check everything before it comes in. But I don't like them when they go to my banking account and check if what's going on. I don't like them when they do that, but I like them in this part. They are my friends now. Well, okay, you can answer the questions.
Chair, I would want to start this way. Firstly, ask the director, the national director of veterinary public health, just to provide clarity and information on the meat inspection through the value chain from agriculture through health to the DGI. That's all.
Thank you.
Before you come in, Doc, I think everybody has to answer, to come in and say something, including my friend, and come to the commissioner. But health, if you could help us, in addition to all the special benefits, there has always been a question about primary health care. There are certain provinces that are running primary health care services. There are certain where the municipal services are run by municipal health. Now, if you could differentiate that and tell us which provinces are running by primary health care with municipal services, which provinces are for municipal services, and it is not the province that is done by primary care, but it is the municipality. And that's another area that creates a lot of confusion when it comes to health and sector. If you could clarify that.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members. Thank you very much for the wide range of questions related specifically to the needs labeling, but also touching to some of the consultative processes we have with regard to the bigger picture on the meat inspection. If I start exactly just with the meat inspection, Honourable Members, you are aware that in the last 8 months, we have gone through an in-depth consultative process where we were saying that in this country, the function to deal with the meat inspection was transferred to the had proposed that at the beginning of January, and we had a series of stakeholder workshops from them, in which at the end our stakeholders were able to look at the proposal that we were saying it is, and added their own inputs into that as to how it can further be strengthened. That is where I think the question of Honourable Kwala then comes on, that the ad hoc committee that we are referring to is the committee that was already working on the issue of the meat inspection as an ongoing, as what the Department of Agriculture was doing. With regard to that, a final recommendation, I think we bow, because we think that we have reached consensus with the industry and all the other related role players into what type of model that we should follow, which is the model that combines government and the private sector to actually be playing an active role on a daily basis. That recommendation is currently being processed within DAF. That the portfolio committee will then be briefed in terms of the progress in that regard. Hence, in preparation of this particular presentation, we did not bring that part, because it was already a consultative process that was on its following its own system. Then Honourable Chairperson indicated that maybe it's important for us to just outline the role players who starts where. In the current framework, that all the controls related to live animals on farm are within the ambit of the Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries. The control of abattoirs as well, so as animals are taken to the abattoir for slaughter, all abattoirs are within the ambit of the Department of Agriculture, Forestry. Then when the meat reaches the abattoir, whether it's going to a wholesale or a butchery or a processing facility, in that regard, then those facilities become into the jurisdiction of the Department of Health. So that is the current framework in as far as the domestic production is concerned. With regard to the imported products of animal property, the Department of Agriculture does the risk analysis and issues an import permit, in other words, authorizing that importation. Then the veterinary authorities of the country of origin, they would then ensure that the requirements imposed by South Africa have been met, and they would certify that product and ship it into South Africa. On arrival of the consignment here in our borders of entry, it is inspected by the Department of Agriculture to make sure that it complies with the import permit that was issued by the department, and that in that case it can be regarded as a safe product. Once the Department of Agriculture clears the product, it then enters the domestic market, whether going to the processing facility and so forth, of which the facility is then in the Department of Health. When it comes to the import controls, we indicated that the part of the thing that we do for the inspection are exactly related to the safety of the products. And I'm glad that today this association of meat importers and exporters have been mentioned, because those are among the people who will attest to you today that from our office we have rejected containers, consignments coming into this country when we have inspected them at the port, and we were not satisfied that they were not posing a risk to the South African consumers. Those are normally the most difficult cases, and in some of them they end up in court and so early. But in all instances when we have made a decision that we're not accepting that container, those containers have either been destroyed or returned to the country of the country of origin. Honourable Chair, I think I would like to pause now and maybe allow other colleagues, and maybe I can come in a later stage with the specific questions related to other witnesses. Thank you.
I'll pass it to my manager to deal with the question that I've spoken to the team for the particularity of the question that has been asked about the stopping the import for Brazil. I'm sure she also talked to India also. Thank you.
Thank you, Acting DJ, and good morning to the two persons and honorable members. The import of, I take it that honorable thing particularly referring to beef from Brazil and butter the meat from India. I'll start with the beef from Brazil. We would recall that in December of last year, Brazil reported a case of BSE, affectionately known as mental disease, not to be confused with rabies, though. And normally, the response is for trade partners to suspend imports of beef because of that risk. And unfortunately, BSE is another of the diseases that are zoonotic. It affects humans. And we remain responsible for protecting human life as well. So our first response was to suspend imports from Brazil because of BSE reports. The Brazilian authorities then submitted additional information to the OIE, who subsequently evaluated the information and reinstated their certification that BSE poses a negligible risk to the human and animal population. And normally, subsequent to that evaluation by the OIE, we request additional information from trade partners concerned. BSE is normally transmitted through feeding of animal proteins back to animals. And one of the things that we need to ascertain is that the Brazilian vet authorities have those control measures in place, and they are not feeding what we call cattle milk back to the cattle. We are waiting for that information, and as soon as it has been received, it will be evaluated, and if satisfactory, in terms of beef from Brazil will then resume. Now, going to India and buffalo meat, when we opened the market for Indian buffalo meat in 2010, the agreement with the Indians was that they will submit quarterly surveillance reports for their foot and mouth disease surveillance that they should be conducting in the country and throughout the country. And unfortunately, during the whole of 2010, no such reports were received, and we could not get an indication from them as to the disease status regarding foot and mouth disease. And as a result, because they reneged on the agreement, we had to suspend imports. It's not that the meat is not safe for human consumption, it is just that foot and mouth disease poses a risk to our animal population. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I would want to let my colleagues the word also questions to start and the National Consumer Commission to pick up on those issues, and then we will then provide the response on the overall strategic issues of the leadership policy. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I think it's important to recognize that the framework or the regulatory framework around this issue is quite different, as you have said. I think on page 3 and 4 of the report, you identify all the pieces of legislation that relate to this. We in health, obviously, are responsible for the foodstuff cosmetics and disinfectant, and then also the medicines and the substance that which gives us power to what we can and can't do. And my understanding is that from the previous meeting, our big challenge was that each of us are operating in our own silo. And the question is, how do we then coordinate this so when there are cracks or issues that fall within the crack, we can then deal with that. And I think the presentation attempts to deal with that issue so that rather than having to go to the three different departments to be able to get an answer, just go to the one structure and clear ourselves, we must opt out as to whose responsibility is or isn't. At the end of the day, that structure will serve to account for that. Having said that, I think it's important to recognize that health, we will certainly have to be responsible for the monitoring and inspection of retail and local level facilities. This has been a local government function, and there's been challenges around it. I think the committee recognizes that, and we must be able to ask that as well. I think think transgressions are certainly provided for in the food stuff. So we have powers that come from the food stuff. And the inspectors have our mandate to take action against those that transgress the law. So the food stuff that provides for penalties where people fail to comply, and we can certainly act against them in terms of court of law. And these are also litigations that have been transferred to municipalities as well. In terms of the details of what you've been doing since the meat scandal, I think if I ask Mr. Daniel Matala, who's responsible for food control as well as the analyst for Medic, to give you the details.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, honorable members. As indicated by the Department of Agriculture, Forest and Fisheries, the Department of Health takes over from them as soon as the import permit has been issued. And basically what would happen is, you know, in terms of the regulations published under the Foodstuffs Coordinating Service, the second day, they take over in terms of ensuring compliance. As Dr. Begov already indicated, in terms of, you know, ensuring compliance with these regulations, this requires the function that has been dedicated to the local municipality. What would happen, there are different regulations, about 50 plus regulations, which are actually published under the the one important one would be in terms of ensuring that all facilities that sell food have to be authorized. They have to obtain an authorization from the local municipality, and they issue the certificate, which we call certificate of accessibility, meaning that they have to be have their food hygiene, they have to comply with the food hygiene regulation. At the same time, you know, in terms of the product, they need to be properly labeled. You might be aware that in 2010, we published new labeling regulations, which came into effect in 2012. It's about what happens, what's required of retailers and manufacturers. They have to label, properly label whatever food stuff that they actually sell. And what we've been trying to do and continue to do, training the local municipality in terms of having to ensure that those regulations are compliant. And noting that we've got about 52 municipalities around the country, we are continuously not providing training to those municipalities. At the same time, set up structures where we guide them in terms of having to make sure that in a case where they do not have, you know, clarity in terms of interpretation of the regulation, they, you know, set up committees for us to guide them in terms of having, you know, workshops for them to make sure that they consistently interpret whatever regulation that has been published, you know, under the system. In terms of what happened basically since the Mishara came through, we liaised with the Department of Agriculture for the Century. And we got a list of people who imported meat. And through, you know, the coordination with Department of Agriculture for the Century and the municipality, we got to understand in terms of the names of, you know, facilities which imported food. And what happened was we did analysis. At a, you know, pilot phase, where we did analysis of the test results, those test results have been available. And at the same time, what we did was noting that the National Consumer Commission has been mandated to take over in terms of the investigation. All information was actually provided to the National Consumer Commission to take over in terms of, you know, further investigation. I think I'll call it there.
I think the key question here is, in fact, let me make an example. You know, there's been a lot of criminality happening around Zobe and Cape Town. But when there's a little bit of trouble together, then those who are caught in that problem, they move to the other area because they know there's no visibility. I'm talking from Australia. And I think it happens in the distance as we go to the people who the distance are up to us. And if there's a lot of capacity in big towns, they get sent to the valley, that's where there's no capacity. Are the municipal services working well? I know that leaders probably don't want to take the time. They want even money ahead, and the profits take over. That confusion is not causing a problem. By the way, as everybody, we are not under certification, but it's a short day, so people could move in and out and quietly get something to do. But I think that's where the question is, do you have capacity, especially in the smaller municipalities, to do what you say you can?
Thank you for that question. So we'll deal with that. Try and explain what are the challenges
They are actually endorsed by municipalities, district municipalities, and metros. Yesterday, we had a solar summit as part of the intervention because the Director General of Health, after this meeting, wrote to Salga in terms of them addressing the matter. So, unfortunately, one couldn't seem to come up to a date where they want to do a resolution. But we welcome is that those resolutions will be shared with the Department of Health. But however, to clarify what the municipal health services is, it's mainly environmental health services within municipalities. So all food-related issues are dealt with, like how what my colleague has said, is done by municipalities and within the municipal health services framework. So there are challenges. I must say, firstly, is the capacity, which was one of the issues that was raised in the yesterday's summit, to say we don't have enough environmental health practitioners out there because we don't normally deal with food issues. They have to deal with issues of waste management challenges, the healthcare risk waste. They have to deal with the issues of disposal of the dead, which is your symmetry, the issues of your... I mean, there are a lot of other functions that they have to deal with. So mainly you'll find that there won't be much concentration in issues of food safety, which is its core challenge. I think with the human resource that we are sitting with at the moment, it's a serious challenge to the country. So I must say that with Salga meeting yesterday, the way the interventions in terms of how municipal health is functioning at the moment, there are serious challenges, and will be brought to the resolutions that have been taken in yesterday's meeting.
Thank you, Chair. First, on the National Consumer Control side, one of the things that we've done is to actually have actual interactions with municipalities on the ground, to interview the inspectors with regard to their understanding of their role as inspectors. And without prejudging some of the issues, I think some of the challenges that my colleague has already indicated have been observed by our investigators, and also just the understanding of exactly what it is that has been devolved to the provinces, and also just exactly what it is that they're supposed to do on the ground. We've also identified it as a huge risk, because that's where on the ground the infections are supposed to be done. And maybe also to share on the issue of how the Commission has been proactive with regard to some of the issues. What the horse meets issue was publicized. The Commission was proactive in interacting with the only supplier of Findus that was the supplier in Europe that was implicated in Europe, and we got the record with regard to the traceability of what they import in South Africa, and we found that from all the products that they're importing, there's actually one product that had meat in it, and we required them to provide us with the testing that has been done on the product from the country of origin up to the time when it is sold on the shelves. And I think the Commission was satisfied at the time that with regard to what was imported by Findus, there was no horse meat or any contamination or such. And also maybe to share with the House, the issue is that we also follow these with regard to all the retailers that were implicated in the report after it was publicized, and also followed lead with regard to information we got from the Department of Agriculture with regard to importers of exotic species, so to speak, to try and follow the leader to where it goes into the market, and to interview people who actually import exotic species for purposes of human consumption, and also to test the labels as well, to check as to whether or not, after it has been processed, what they have done. We've interacted with important processors, retailers themselves, and as I said, municipalities. And we've also interacted with the department as well with regard to their own formal records, with regard to important and also inspections that have been done for the past in the last 12 months. And some of the information we've received, and I think some of them, with regard to the challenges that they've already stated, they were not able to provide to us because some district municipalities have not been able to provide that information because, obviously, as I've already indicated, they didn't even understand what role they were supposed to play with regard to the inspection of meat and meat products. Thank you.
You are coordinating with the and I think you are the most relevant person to the election. But I'm here to the IIA
coordinator.
Yeah. The number is concentrated on what?
I think you are certain numbers that we, one of the members that we are doing our utmost is to speak with the work of dealing with the investigation, and to assure you that the coordination department is very good. Because the time that Jeffrey was ready, it will be an uncle's case tomorrow to be treated as a voluntary investigation. Today we're talking each, but there are other components that have not been identified. So for us to do quality assurance and to look at it from all angles, sometimes the content, sometimes the weight, sometimes the quality. So it's a celebration and it's a big issue for us. One of my colleagues to also make his comment or his contribution.
The part that says, as we're sitting here, what's happening? We understand what they're trying to do, but here's what's happening here. What is going on? I know you talk about the target, and I saw one day there was a leak in the water. I'm not sure whether it was 2 days to transfer, but the lady who said it next, who said it in April, that took some of the people that once them that water back, they don't know what it is. Wash them back and put them there so that people can end up with their eyes.
They are responding. It will also respond to a simple question. Is there capacity? Both on the inspection and also on the labeling. So the labeling is supposed to be a very straightforward one that talks to the content of what is here. So we have that information. In your so-called first world, which we simply are fast-tracking ourselves towards as a country. Yes, we have a combination of both, you know, so-called first and so-called third world in our country. You know, in some areas, you know, whatever, yes. In the circle there, next to the sector, the meat is there, in the open. It's lovely, it's nice. Of course, not for age, it's not, there's no limit. But let's talk about those that are found in the field source. Labeling. Simple question. We have capacity, inspection, and labeling. That's a good point.
Thank you, Jonathan, honorable members. From the DTI, we would like to respond on that. Take the opportunity to present a few booklets. We regulate this particular matter based on the Consumer Protection Act. And I'll try and respond to the questions of what have the departments been doing prior to the meeting coming. The booklets that we have presented to the Joint Chairperson are the Consumer Protection Act. That particular act is replete with sections that are trying to regulate this particular matter. We have section 24. 2024 prohibits the marketing or labeling of misleading, deceptive, or misrepresentation. At the right section, the minister has, since the outbreak of the scandal on the 22nd of March, issued a notice requiring that all meat products should have a trade description as described in that particular act. We also have, prior to the outbreak of the meat scandal, Section 41 in that act, which also prohibits false and deceptive representations. We also have Section 41 in that particular act, which also prohibits unfair practices in connection with the marketing of any goods or process. Honorable Chair, we also have Section 29, which requires that both a producer and importer, just to refer to what the importers are looking to, may not market goods in a manner that is reasonably likely to imply a false or misleading representation. This is just to say to the House that even prior to this, I believe that the basis was preempted the investigation by the National Consumer Commission. That is the basis upon which they will be following the investigation, trying to find out if any of these provisions have been contravened. So I would like to say that the DGI has been proactive prior to the scandal, but subsequent to oppose the scandal, the DGI has issued a notice today, the 21st of June, is the last day for comment. We hope in a few weeks or days we'll be able to issue the final notice that actually requires the proper labeling of any meat product. On the issue raised by the Honourable Chair on the issue of capacity, under the legislation for crop protection, that responsibility actually lies with either the importer, the supplier, or the producer of that particular good. Of course, for the purposes of enforcement and monitoring, the National Consumer Commission will be responsible for investigating and prosecuting such cases whereby there is actually improper labeling. And again, it is also quite important, just last year, to mention that in as much as we would like to see policy everywhere, it also takes, it's important for the citizen to actually report such matters, because sometimes the police will actually detect the crime being committed. Very often, it's very important that citizens actually report cases of crime or in this weekend, instances of improper marketing or misleading of goods. Thank you, Chair.
Chair, just on the issue of labeling, I'd just to add to what my colleague has alluded to. I think one of the biggest challenges is also the science behind determining the presence and absence of something. And I think based on all the submissions that have been made to the National Consumer Commission by even the universities that have written the report itself, from Stellenbosch University, also from the UNW University, as to whether or not for purposes of determining the presence or absence of something, can the DNA testing be relied upon, looking at its sensitivity and looking as to whether or not it also deals with the issue of substitution. And I think that is where part of the biggest challenge is. To say, it's well and good to teach consumers to read the label. It's well and good to say the label says this is what is in the ingredient. Determining whether or not the label is correct, it's been also a challenge. And I think it's one of the challenges that the task team, the interdepartmental task team, can maybe try to deal with as well, because the science is still up in the air. We do not have a consistent way of assisting consumers in making their choice, or even in requiring compliance with the labeling regulation to say, this is how you test whether or not you comply with the requirements. And I think this is one of the biggest issues that still needs to be answered. The scientists have not been able to answer that question. Even the scientists that wrote the original report making a statement that there's widespread mislabeling, they have not been able to make a submission to the Commission to the effect that the DNA testing that first started the report in the first place on, based on the DNA testing can be used as a means of determining the presence or absence of an ingredient, and also the distinction between adulteration and contamination. So I think those are some of the issues that complicate this issue even further. Thank you.
I think from what we have, there seems to be enough laws, enough rules, enough regulations. Problem here is, how do you police the implementation of all those laws and rules and regulations? Now, if you look at this report that was handed out to us a couple of days ago, dated 21st of June, I suppose it meant that it was going to be tabled here today. So I suppose it's a document I can quote. Pages are not numbered yet. But I just want to give you one or two of the problems that they have identified. Quite actually so. There is a lack of shared monitoring and enforcement databases resulting in less effective food control management and information flow between technical and operational staff, blah, blah, blah. Then they say, yes, Jefferson, as there is lack of horizontal communication, mandate and obligations which affects communication between national government as well as other levels of government. And I heard from the sister now that a municipality could not even comprehend what was being told to them. So you see, Jefferson, unless we are prepared, there's a lot that the officials can do, but there's a hell of a lot more that they cannot do. Why? They say that if you want to trust, if you want to test a person's character, give him or her power. And ask me, I'm 72 years old, I've seen it. Once somebody's got power, they are untenable. They claim to represent people. But if people want to see them, they have to battle. They have to go down on their own force to try and get an interview. So this is our problem, Jeff. And the implementers of the law are the problem. And there should be a mix. You see, Jeff, if I look at the laws try to anticipate, precipitate possible situations. And it tries to give it a solution. But the law is unable to deliver that solution. That can only be done by dedicated, patriotic people in the various departments of state. You see, I remember when I was a kid, my father had a trading store. And every now and then, it was the old Terry Urban Areas Health Board. Every now and then, an inspector would pick up. And he would send somebody from outside and ask him to go and buy a particular commodity. For example, let's say take honey. And a commodity comes back, it's got no label, nothing. So you don't know how pure the honey is. And he would then take that back. In the meantime, you would leave a summons behind. Burn a locus, spot summons. Now, chairperson, that's the kind of thing that we need and we do not have. Now, let's look at the unemployment situation in the country. I'm sure, chairperson, and the honorable chairperson of the health portfolio, who is a medical doctor, will tell me that you don't need a medical expert to go and look at a can of fish which has grown up already, unfit for human consumption, but it's on the top shelf. You need some basic training to be given to people, and to send them out there to monitor whether the stuff that is on the shelves is fit or unfit or good or bad. And that is what's lacking in the country today. If I speak to friends, well, there are very few of my friends that are left in the retail trade. But if I speak to some of them that are still there, they And if they don't know when last week, they be a health inspector of the municipality. So, Chairperson, all the requisite needs and requirements to implement something is not there. Do you know, Chairperson, that as a portfolio committee, national portfolio of a committee on agriculture, forestry and fisheries, if we must invite the 9 MPC from the provinces, you must be damn lucky, Chair, if you get 1 to it. And you will find that many of them don't even send their senior person responsible for agriculture. You don't get see them. How do you then communicate and coordinate? And that problem is highlighted in this report. Now, Chairperson, what we need to do concomitantly is to ask ourselves, what can we as Parliament to try and see that there is this kind of uniformity brought about? Because there are too many, you know, there are too many chiefs and no Indians. I mean, every department has got a chief director and a chief this and a chief that and a DT and all sorts of things. But, Chairperson, are we getting valuable money on the ground? Are our people getting the kind of service that we are entitled to? All of you are our people. Whether you're an official or an ordinary citizen, you walk into a supermarket, you walk into a butcher shop, sometimes you walk into a spaza shop. Problem, Chairperson, is unless we are prepared to be bold enough and say that while there may be problems with legislation, and I beg to differ that we've got major problems with legislation. I think our legislation, by and large, I mean, legislation is never cast in concrete, Chair. It's always open to be amended if we missed out to dot an I and to cross a T. But, Chairperson, unless we are prepared to focus on that aspect, we will be having workshops and getting the departments to get together and all sorts of things. Chairperson, just ask yourself, how many people are sitting here today that have had to let go of their day today? That had to perhaps fly in from other parts of the country. Consumer people spending money to come here that could have been spent on doing something else. We, Chairperson, are unfortunately overburdening our financial resources. We're not appreciating it. And Chairperson, our instruction should go out. That, and I always tell the department when they appear before us, Chair, let us be brutally frank with one another. Don't try to be nice to us. Tell us that these are the shortcomings. And if you don't give me the tools, how can I deliver the material? You are asking me to implement ABCD. I haven't got the people to go out to every other tribe in the country. Period. Likewise, other issues can. Tell us exactly what your shortcomings are. Don't be shy, don't be afraid of the minister. Nobody can just fire you for telling the truth. I've been telling the truth just since I came here. I haven't been fired yet. For discipline, because I'm telling the truth. And if I get fired for the truth, I'll take it with a smile, because I did not hurt my conscience. So, Chairperson, all I'm asking, the time for talking is gone. We are wasting time. We need to repair those things that are not working. Not going to repair things that are working. Let's spend our energy and resources, whatever, to build up the capacity that is required. And if there is no horizontal convergence, Chair, I'll be blunt. If the MEC for agriculture of a particular province is not prepared to come to Parliament to come and account, and you gave that person 2 or 3 chances, I gave a third committee to then be bold enough to tell the President that, listen, we had this invitation extended, this person is not. Same applies to the DG or any other official. Because the problem here, Chairperson, is that when you have so many different departments involved, I promise you that the 118 people you had that day, you had 3 people that were missing. Right? They may have other responsibilities. But then, Chair, here we have to do with the safety of the nation. So all I'm saying, Chairperson, is let us look at where we should be spending our energy, and where the department should, spending, should be spending its energy. It's all very nice that we need to bring about each lack of uniformity in terms of structures, that each province has its own way of doing things. There should be an instruction that should go out from the highest office of the land. Do this. And if you don't do it, you don't deserve to be there. Thank you, Chair.
Well, what we're trying to do, we're trying to get a feel of what's going on. And I think the members have got that feel, but we're going to give them a second hand. Just as a response to the members, and then you come back. You wanted to respond to some of the things.
Well, I think also there were two questions that we needed to try to deal with. The one is the question that was asked by Honorable Abrams when he did a compliment and we drew it. Who is doing inspections in the 400 abattoirs? And I want to ask the Commonwealth Fair, who is representing all the provinces, just to talk to them and ask Mr. Ramasoli, who is the Chief Director for Inspection Service, just to talk to our issues around the capacity for inspection. Now let's start do that with the Fair.
Thank you very much, Chair. On the issue of inspections at our class, now what we have three different types of inspectors. There are meat inspectors that, as you have said, that these are service providers, private service providers, that are hired by our class to offer meat inspection at our class at the moment. And then on top of that, provinces have hired what we call the Veterinary Public Health officials or officers, who then monitor the abattoir, number one, but also monitor meat inspection that is offered by service providers at those particular abattoirs. Now, on the issue of capacity, the answer is no, we do not have enough capacity at provincial level for veterinary public health officials to monitor what is happening at abattoirs. And we have said in the past that, you know, in meat trade, things take 1 second to go wrong. Now, when you have the veterinary public health officers who visit these abattoirs, you know, regularly, sometimes by the time they leave, the gates will have changed. So we want to have more capacity to be able to monitor what is going on at abattoirs. Now, the other thing that Honorable Abrahams mentioned, the issue of being able to be told what you're eating. And I know in the past, Honorable Abrahams has talked about pork entering the food chain, and as Muslims, that is not allowed to be consumed. Yesterday at the summit that was talked about, the first summit, we had a presentation from South African National Halal Association. And this ties up with the issue of DNA testing, because in order for us to assist, we needed to find out from South African National Halal Association as to their tolerance level for this particular species in the food itself, as to whether it's zero tolerance or there is some degree of tolerance that they allow. And what he said is that in as much as they have zero tolerance, but the reality is that there could be cross-contamination. And I'm not necessarily quoting in verbatim, but he was saying that the idea is to wash off. If you clearly wash off your hands and wash off equipment, and there is no feel and there's no smell, there's no taste of that particular product in that environment, you can take it as it's halal. You know, that is something that we then need to have more interaction with the Muslim community to understand as to how then we set tolerance levels, so that, you know, we may not necessarily be using DNA testing for every little thing, but if we all of us agree that this is our tolerance level, therefore we can then move forward on that. Thank you very much.
Honorable Chairperson, honorable members, I will respond to the issue around capacity in the inspection and quarantine services within the Department of Agriculture for the Service. In 2007, there was an audit that was done on the inspection services of the department, and from there, the department was given funding to augment the then levels of inspectors that we have and capacity that we have. that amount dried up in 20 years. And since then, the department has been engaged with the department, the National Treasury, and no funds have been coming from National Treasury to deal with the issues that we're having around infections. Each and every year, the department has been submitting options to say, here are the critical areas that we need to beef up if we have got to respond to the risks that emanate from production issues, from consumer patterns that are ever-changing. But we haven't had none. And I'm really happy that Honorable Abraham has indicated that something needs to be done. Because at the end of the day, when the department or departments are here, it's an issue that there is no difficulty on the ground. And I can safely say that whether it's in Bainbridge or in Cape Town or at the Durban Port, people are working. But the current capacity level that we are having are just not enough to do the work that we are supposed to be doing. And if that intervention that you request from the honorable members, from the honorable portfolio committee, the members for that matter, that when we go to National Treasury, if we can have recommendations, very firm recommendations, that this is a critical area around food safety that needs to be given. Thank you very much.
I don't want, I said, I'm not friends with SARS, but I don't want to. So this said without asking them to talk. I love them. That's very hard on this part. There's another part that we tend to forget. South Africa is not summer, and indeed, which is like that. And I think somebody mentioned something about capacity or no capacity, but if the citizens are able to take us up, we'll actually force ourselves to do something. But if citizens, even if they say that the able was washed in a sewage water, nobody is going to do anything because they are affected. So I think by telling us some of these things, we're going to tell the citizens that they must wake up. That I must take you to task when you don't do this. Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Unfortunately, I don't have a mandate to make representations on behalf of SARS, but we will prepare a written response to the issues and the questions raised.
Honorable Chair, you talk like a doctor. Doctors don't talk much. They do. They don't talk, they just say, come around, I want to give you an injection, and don't ask questions, but give an injection. we don't talk about that. Thank you very much. Okay, in fact, this part is going to be taken over by the Shepherd's back of that whole room. But let's start marking it, because they are in hell.
Thank you, Shepherd. Thank you, Chairperson. I'm concerned about care. I just got this money, this condition, like, that I can show that the eating continues to be safe. Now I'm worried about what the official from health talked, when he talked about, when she talked about the health practitioner, she did mention that this health practitioner is to look for it. Now you wonder, you can't that we've got no health practitioner. And I'm worried because municipalities are the very government that is close to our community. If there's no health inspector there in that government, it means that we're creating a problem. Because they are also concerned about the food poisoning. And what is that? The issue of labeling is not clear exactly. Because labeling explains that this food is expired or substandard date. Therefore, it can't be used. That is why it gets food poisoning. It's because of being kind of stable, our food. So that's why I'm saying, I'm not like it's not clear exactly. And the chairperson of the company that alluded to it. Also, we are talking about the condom awareness on the workshop on the ticket. You said that one of the great steps, condom awareness education to be strengthened by coasters, etc. port of entry. And from Eastern Cape, the red one for them. One mechanism to be carried out for average programs to rural areas. Especially that we say that those people are literate. That's where literacy is. So, it means to say, where the port of entry in the rural area. So, as you say that, but education awareness and education to expand there. And also, the issue of conditions inspection is also worrying us, because that task is a very difficult task, and it's very important. And you say that also there is no constant inspection to monitor and enforce food hygiene policies. How can, if you have got no data that is on the ground, and to local government, how can you be sure that that enforcement is done? Really, that makes us to be very, I think I concur with Honorable Abra, because really, at the end of the day, we can, it theory goes hand in hand with practice. And also, when you look at action plan, the action plan, maybe, this time, the action plan must have something that says, like, because I can see that the table is there, the action plan is there, but if we don't have the time ready for that, maybe that's another issue, because when it is a radio, it's just a radio that says, here's our action plan. We don't know when the action plan is going to start and when the action plan is going to be ongoing or what. Because if you say when, really, you really take the theory into practice. And I think also, we are talking about, also when you look at this election, at this table, you don't see something that talks to monitoring. That's very strange, because you talk at the tariffs only when you talk about the workshop. But when you look at the annexes A, you don't see anything that talks to monitoring, which is very important as we see. And also you talk about the SAGA resolution. Maybe on SAGA you can just explain us maybe the resolution that was the issue of the inspectors on the meeting, the one which we had in SAGA yesterday. So that we know that there's something that is going on, because ready to talk and not walk the talk, then we are going nowhere. And at the same time, our people are suffering down there. And we have to preserve life. Because I'm also in health care, so I would say, what preserve life here? And that we want also to strengthen and reinvigorate primary health care. We don't want people to be sick. We want people to be healthy. So therefore, it is the honest, it's on us, that's on us. We take this seriously, how to monitor this food problems. Because of the day, you must control this. We can't talk and do nothing. And then we see that the data that we are in, right like now, it is on the forefront that there are problems. Across all those points, we are now on. Yes, prevention is better than cure. Thank you, Chairperson.
Today is the 21st of June. Yeah. I'm told that it's the shortest day and the longest time. So my cousin the next will go to the travel on the day because it's the shortest day. So we'll allow you Mzala to go. It's the shortest day. Actually, you must know it's the longest night, so I don't know what to do the time. I'm going to give over to Uzu to check us. I'm not going to come back again.
As I did say earlier, let's make the best out of it. Special day. Can we also, as we do our second and last round, be pointed with questions and then we give way forward? So that we ask all of us. Many questions have been raised, many comments have been raised. Where do we go from
here? First of all, I think there's been a whole lot of concerns, and I get the impression that the chairperson of health is not used to robust discussions in the portfolio. And today is mild for us. I think our poor officials know about the chair, but it's because they know that we are passionate. We are really passionate about. What, not that I'm saying the other members are not passionate, but they're very used to us. Unfortunately, I'm not sure the Department of Health and the industry is so used to this, but I think it's quite normal in our portfolio. It's not that we don't like officials, we are driving them towards excellence. I'm really concerned, quite concerned about a whole lot of things, but I'll ask one of the pointed questions and then I'll try and make some kind of follow. Someone, I think the person from that explained how the arrival of new of people just good get here in Africa, that staff jobs to inspect these consignments. My concern is about the capacity. It's just good about the capacity. How many percentage of these consignments are inspected? And I want to read something here in the document from the department itself where they speak about import control and food inspection. Officials within customs, and that's why it's important that start to come into this thing also. Officials within customs cannot electronically alert or send pre-arrival notifications to consignment. Therefore, it's difficult for the DAC or the Department of Health officials to know of any product under effective control unless the importer voluntarily informs the competent authorities. Blah, blah, blah. It is currently not a requirement that a person submitting prior notice of imported goods must report the name of any country that has refused entry of that product where applicable. Now this last sentence brings me to the dumping issue. How many products get into our country that have been refused entry in our country? And how many of these consignments do we inspect? Because someone mentioned that yesterday it was meat, tomorrow it's poultry. It's poultry already, I'm sure the department knows about it. South Africa done their own picking of imported chicken and spicy because of the fight with what's going on in the eyes. I don't want to get involved in that battle. My concern is the health issue, because we all know about poultry. Poultry is not treated as well in the best, seriously. And we have mentioned here about poultry. Do we have the capacity? Do we fix any confinement? I don't want to tell the department. They know about the Orion case. How come are we slipping faster? Chair, that's my concern. I think the internal fight you can fight, and we can ask our people internally figure out who's inspecting the filtering there, and we have uncontrolled filtering everywhere on marketplaces and things like that. We can kind of work on that. But the importation into our country is my main concern at the moment. Because, Chair, I mentioned earlier, tons and tons and tons of meat and other products that land into our shores that was maybe chased away in other countries, but it's been found here. So I'm so sure that we get a serious focus on the importation into the country. We need to start there. And not only check for health and activities, it's only also check to protect our borders. Our people need to tackle exports, because other countries have so many, we hear about the black spot thing in, of the oil. Other countries have for so many requirements, and it brings me to the second question, Chair, to the bottom. Our requirements that we set for our requirements that we set for deportation, is that up to standard? Do we expect the same things that other countries expect from their people? How sure are we that our requirements is on par? We need to get a list of that. We need to revisit it. We must see if it's full up to standard, or are we not under standard what that is. And then, Chairperson, the person from DDA spoke about all that step that was taken by the minister after his first thing, and he made a publication of this and the publication of that and whatever. I think that this was supposed to be on all the country of collagen and whatever. I just thought, when I was doing my own shopping, I walked past a few stores and I checked it. It's not there. It's not all over label. So why are we can't wait for the Consumer Commission to do it. They have their own study and work. Did you send from your office or the Department of Health, wherever it's going to sit, a few legal things while you're doing your shopping? Just check the list and check if it's happening. And that's why I spoke about earlier, Chair, we need to make an example of one person. And it could be an easy thing. I think Honourable Arons mentioned thing of the sin, but I know that's not a thing, but at least we just need to get some action here. We can't wait until the cabinet sat and this one sat and years of discussion. So, Chair, I think what we need to ask here is that we need to get some action as soon as possible. It doesn't matter from which department it comes, and it's not that we are chasing people who want to make, but people will keep on doing this. Changes, lastly, I mentioned earlier the community that was imported into the country. I made an inquiry. It seems like the one of the things that was important from India, the land here at 5 kilos cheap. But it was sold, we don't know, in the, because we can't take this in the labeling, as beef. Well, if you buy in sausage or patties or whatever, you would pay a kilogram. And that is my question to SARS, Jim. We need to find out from SARS if someone was cheating other than labeling soy. Because it's fine if you import it as water buffalo. But if you sell it in your country or something else, it becomes a crime. So SARS need to look into that situation, and that's why I said it's good to know yesterday, because that is the thing that worries me from the import side of that. Thank you. I also praise the department for bringing the report here within the first 3 months. I was really very impressed with that chair, I must say.
You know, in prison, they gave us the submit 1987, something. Then I think prison. At the time, we wouldn't be allowed to be met. You know, they went to a good cop. What was the English word for that? The grind it. The mint. Even if it was fish or chicken, he left to, you know. But that piece of meat that we never knew until that was today, what it was. It was very nice. Yeah, man, it's alive. You know, our comrades, they tell us stories about food that we've been eating when we were somewhere else. They would call it man. Especially coming from certain Indian countries, the times you could mention. You look at it, you know, days of expiry, 3 years later, and here they are, it's still very much alive and fit. Anyway, members, let's try and get our questions with recommendations. Let's try and get our comments with recommendations. That's what is meant by way forward.
Lastly,
I'm allowing them to stay in the shadow minister. You know what happened with the minister?
Lastly, that we need, before we go, Chair, some kind of a time frame. I know the difficulty, but we need to get a time frame from. And who will take the.
That's what I mean when I say comment or question, recommendation. Mrs. Robinson?
Right, thank you. Once again, almost everything I wanted to say has been said, so in the interest of time, I'll not get repeated, except for saying, while we're talking about importation of products, I'm also concerned about unhygienic sale of meat on the street. I have seen an animal being slaughtered in the street and then being cooked immediately. Now, how do we know that meat is not contaminated? Especially with pork, I know goats are a bit more resilient, but I think we also have to look at what's happening on the ground here. And there are so many unemployed people. Surely we can sit out of the box and appoint people who have been to some sort of a training, I can't go into it right now because I have got all the answers, but people who are going to be working with health inspectors who are, can be mentored and trained. As we said, you don't have to be a doctor to be able to follow the direct procedures. Perhaps we need to set up a protocol and have lots of people going out into the streets, into the trading, into the shops, and checking. These are the things that we are concerned about, and then you bring back the expert at a later stage to check it even more. There are so many people who need work, but who are keen and eager and can be trained. So interns can be used. I think that consumer education is important. We've mentioned it in primary health care, but also back to the school syllabus. I remember a lot that I was taught when I was still in junior school is what has informed me in doing my purchases and in bringing up my family. And I think there's not enough of that if one, but again, it's long term. But we've got to think long term and short term. We don't have the capacity. We've got to get more staff on the ground. So let's also look at not appointing so many chiefs. And you can have those big salaries and have more people who are going to get a lesser salary but be there to do the work on the ground. Those are the people that we need to look after, the people on the ground. So we have to look out of the, think out of the box as well. I'm going to leave it at that because the rest has been well said. Thank you.
Mr. Van Dalen was here. You would have been hearing him.
From this report, obviously, this company is this report. Because why I'm saying this, because the Department of appeared only five, DCI once, and the rest, six times, it's that, it's obvious, the coordinator of this is that. I want to suggest the capacity, talk about the capacity, because, you know, we can't talk about the capacity for wire wire. As long as we are alive, we talk about capacity. No. I think we have children do this. This is the way. This is a proposal. For the treatment of agriculture, containing veterinarians or whatever, why can't they check the students concerning this field and give them a pattern, lot of them, so that this thing of capacity must stop. You can't try always capacity, then we don't do anything about it. And in the health, the same. You know, in the olden days, because I'm from, this is in the olden days, I think those people used to call them health concepts. And they would come into our shop, in our supermarket, and check the tea stuff. If they can just find the other one, this is basically on the top, they take it out. Today, even in the big supermarket, pay, check out, you find this, base, cheese bag. They are not, it's like, even the big supermarket are not checked. Because those things are there. And again, I talked about the department must look at that. All these departments, they must look at that. The students wish, there are many, what do you call it, students who are doing maybe, whatever. Those who want to go, look at them, take them, all of them, take them, and give them boundaries so that the issue of capacity must come to an end. Because, since we got it in the government, the trial of capacity, now we have to get in colleges, in universities, what are we doing about that? So it depends on that in your province, those students are not there. You know, I used to see it in my province, in Europe, I would always know especially with Dr. Aaron Zolikov. And when the great press, when the results coming out, already Dr. Zolikov already checked. Those students who are dealing with science, those students who will take maybe health, those students, and they'll send them to so that they must fight this capacity issue. Because we have one motive.
why can't we use this warm body to destroy this capacity which always we have been done at our day? Thank you, Chairperson.
Mamon, sir. Third to the point, recommendation.
Thank you, Chair. I'm also concerned with the inspection. I've seen so many policemen on the road stopping the cars and trucks, doing inspection in them, but just a few seconds. My eyes didn't know. Are they also trained to check or to inspect? Do they possess the qualifications for that, or machines? What do they do? What do they use to check this route? Just on the open air. I think they must, something must be done if at all they are doing the job. They must be accompanied by the professionals for checking this. Thank you.
Okay, Sava, just a minute. Issue, recommendation.
I'll respect your ruling, that's in a minute.
Chairperson, all I want to say is that there's a lot of legislation. We don't need to clutter it with more legislation. We need to just check out those things that are not worked and amend those, amend that regulation. What is necessary here is to be bold, decisive, take the bull by the horns, and walk the road forward. The brothers there from agriculture have stated some of the challenges that they have regarding finances, resources. We need to, on their behalf, intervene to determine from them exactly what those challenges are and put a figure to it and make the presentations to the Treasury so that that can be done. Chairperson, it's a question of don't try to repair something that is not broken down. We need to repair that which has broken down. And other colleagues there have stated, Mrs. Robertson here too, about what can be done. I spoke earlier about the joblessness in our country, our youth require work. Finally, Chair, I want to tell my compatriot here, Mama, that, you know, I drive about 30,000-35,000 kilometers a year. Whenever a traffic cop stops me, all he's been interested in is to find out whether I've got a driver's license, or just put on your lights and your indicators, and if you don't have a driver's license, he's going to give you a ticket. That's all. That is why we have so many car accidents on the road here, because we don't have the people on the ground that are patriotic and dedicated enough to check out brakes and that sort of stuff of these massive vehicles, which the other day caused a 18-car pile-up somewhere in Johannesburg, a death of 4 innocent people, so many people maimed. Small things there that could have saved lives because the brakes of that vehicle failed. Thank you, again. All we need to do is see that our brakes don't fail. Let us repair those brakes so that our vehicle and then the inspection services run at an optimum. And Chairperson, we must not underestimate the issue about the fact that on the ground, as has been mentioned by many of the colleagues here, we have nobody that calls on businesses, and also that Chisanyama person on the ground, to see whether the Chisanyama is packed in a cooler box, or that sort of stuff. I don't deny that mama that wants to sell on the street corner the right to do so, because she's got children to feed. That is why she's doing it. She's not doing something wrong. She's trying to earn a living by working hard. I admire such people. Let us also make life easier for them, Chair. Let the departments come to the aid of such people. If you give such a people, the other day, I'm finished almost, Chair. The other day someone approaches me. He says, Baba, if I only had a lawnmower, in my community there are 20 houses where the people can't afford a lawnmower, and if I mow their lawn, I'll make a small amount of money. What does a lawnmower cost, Chair? If we are not going to work proactively, Chair, to assist our people, groceries on the one hand, train people, transport it,
and arrest people. Molanyana, cooler boxes, things like that, Chair. We will be failing our people. Thank you, Chair.
I guess the question has been, what are we doing now, today? Parallel all with investigation, parallel all with processes of them to form a structure. What is going on as we speak? We had a situation that I had questioned about some of those unregistered abattoirs. We never got a feedback on that one. On the capacity issue, to an extent we coordinate with National Treasury, and perhaps from a committee point of view, we formally write a letter to the National Treasury and also copy to our committee in Parliament on the same issue. There may be other related issues that warrant National Treasury action. To an extent, my wish is to assist us in that regard. What are those other issues? Don't class amount of those. Simple question. What is the norm? Because we are told what is happening in South Africa is not an isolated instance. Where in, you know, you find DNA, you know, of whatever in another type of meat. We are told it's not a pathogenic phenomenon. To an extent, we might wish to talk about checking of those. What are the norm? Accepted norm. The issues we are about here are very simple and straightforward. On one hand, you have consumers of stuff. On the other hand, you have exporters that are supposed to earn an income, foreign income. That you are going to have all these questions about our meat product. To an extent, when we export, whether we are not be jeopardized, our farmers suffer there. And those would be the few areas from my side. Very straight to the point. On National Treasury, the issues are set for, you know, the recommendations. Can we engage the National Treasury? And then about consumer activity in South Africa is not up to scratch. You know, I usually go to restaurants and say, when you have brought something that you did not order. Ah, and I call that typical daddy, you know, the response. Ah, it's fine. You know, I'll hand it. And I'm a daddy. I'm not telling you my job.
You only say you must demand to get what you have asked.
I know, that's why I'm talking about consumer activism. That is not up to scratch. But I am experiencing. Can I send those that serve you? It's a norm. If they give you something else, the gentleman or the lady then will say, but this is going to be changing our mind. You have to sympathize with the person. Or that person rallies sympathy on you. I'm only talking about one, referring to consumer activism. That is at its lowest in South Africa. We're not doing much, Mr. Commissioner said. We're not doing much. But a country, in fact, Dr. Rukwana must mention, you know, in contrast to everybody here, that at the heart of all what we're doing in South Africa, there is a serious lack of attention to the rules and the regulations. Whether you're going to be driving out there on the pedestrian crossing, by right, the pedestrian is supposed to cross that pedestrian crossing. But you're going to find ourselves having no regard. Driving with the phone and number of us, drunk and so on. You know that they are drove from Boston to New York. This friend of mine. Only when you arrive in New York. Only then that he takes out his cell phone.
all the time the person is literally dying, there is no alcohol usage whatsoever. But that's the issue for me. Attention to rules and regulations. And capacity to apply and implement and enforce those rules and regulations. The person, the point raised by, I can't remember, but in the state, make an example. And go wild and publicly say, well, make an example. If you like, naming and shaming. Not only naming and shaming, but convict that person.
I have to ask him about this one, just to do the issue of the amateur with the one. Thank you,
DJ.
Another one.
Thank you.
Members, I think I'll just go through a few questions in order. I think Honorable Stanley raised the issue of the how stringent our import standard. And I think I can say that if you are talking to the association.
Sorry. Well, just as last one, I forget on the timing. So that when we come the first week of August, we get a plan as to how we take processes forward for inspection and everything with your coordinating structure like that. We are going away today. We are back end of July. First week of July. But for our comment card, first week of August, if you can get a feedback by that time about the actual plan, not discussion anymore.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. If you talk to the importer, they will tell you that we are one country with stringent standards of imports, and they would actually allege that the standards we have imposed are over and above what we demand for the local product. They would be the one, our own industry, role players, saying that this country is breaking the rules of the WTO. On the other hand, obviously, we have got the domestic producers who are actually out there saying that we have got the weakest free for all come in kind of situation. Our role then, as regulators and scientists, is to really ensure that we put measures in place, one, that are proportional to the risk identified, number two, are able to then offer this country the appropriate level of. So we are constantly then in those dilemmas where we have to balance these two, but with one goal to make sure that this kind of means protected. Direct question, basically, was how much we actually test of the input process. I can say to you that each and every consignment of meat that has each quantity is at least tested for the basic microbials. Mainly because to us that is an immediate and an urgent risk that between the time it sells and it puts into the electricity of the ship at the country of provision, the 3 weeks on the sea, you can run out of power, you can run out of this, you have to grow and so on. So each and every consignment is not released at the port of entry until at least a basic microbial is done. So all consignments are Honorable Robertson made a very important observation on the issue of the informal slaughter, outside slaughter, those issues. And I think this is a biggest challenge to the veterinary community in this country because these issues are related to the way people live, the way it generates more economy, and so on. What we have observed is that each province has responded differently. Drive up to the you see on the side of the road that the provincial government has actually built in some structures where you can at least lead the animal, and on the side of the road you actually have got structures that can then cool the meat. On the other hand, in the Western Cape, for example, we have seen a lot of interactions on issues of communal process, and I think the solution that we did propose in the LFP solution system also talks to those aspects. Thank you.
Take back the comments, particularly around how we could train our interactions. skills or if you need training, etc., and we can come back with it.
Thank you. If I may, I should say, in terms of capacity also, we do have 262 environmental health practitioners sitting at home as we speak, which we have had challenge of getting them to municipalities because of the challenges that CDG has just raised. To say, when we go down to municipalities, there is an issue of misdirecting funding that is prioritized for municipal health services to cater for other priorities. So it's something that we are working hard that we should try and correct. But as I'm speaking now, we do have pool of EHP sitting at home.
Because what could be, if you like, your low hanging fruit for this infrastructure or court infrastructure? As we receive some of those areas from the treasure, that could also be added to that. Tisha?
Issue in terms of consultation consumer and putting in the campaign and work with the team, with the technical team to adjust all the issues that are in for the
business. I think what we're saying, Amber, is that by August you need to have that plan. So we are together on that one. We do not say July, we are saying August. August, July ends, it's time to come back. But all that is the time that we shall be expecting to pick up this one. Okay. Members, I think I should be here for now. What do you think? Sorry, I didn't hear you.
Sorry. Sorry, I'm just going for a call, but could I say something as a consumer? Thank you. Firstly, we basically engage with retailers such as Walmart.
That's unbothered, that would be.
We engage with retailers. What we are attempting to do is firstly hold them accountable for misleading labeling and misleading marketing practices, which is pretty rife in South Africa at the moment. What I'd like to say about being here today is that firstly, I've noticed there's much wisdom in this room, but what I think is lacking is our community. Which is not unique to any government, not unique to South African government. But what is unique to our South African government is the Consumer Protection Act. And what I'd like to see is how the various departments actually support this act. For example, the Health Department. I found out yesterday that in South Africa, there are flavorants and additives and things like that that are banned elsewhere in the world, but we don't even have a law to have it labelled in the country. And companies are getting away with basically murder because they are talking in our food that are banned elsewhere in the country and elsewhere in the world. GMO labelling. I'm not too sure what his name was. He mentioned that there's disparity between importing and exporting. And for GMO labelling, we do testing on if it's functionality tests and proven to have presence of 0.9% GMO. That's the cap for exporting. But in South Africa, it's 5%. Why is there a disparity between the two? Why is it fine for a certain standard be set for exporting, but as Africans, at a lower standard? Another thing is basically with regard to monitoring abattoirs, one suggestion that we would like to make is having closed circuit CCTV cameras in all the abattoirs. And that may be logistically a nightmare, but I think it may be a possible solution that is implemented overseas. I'm not so sure, apparently the Consumer Protection Act is undergoing amendments. I am hoping that, especially with GMO labeling, which is a huge concern for consumers, and it's a growing concern for consumers, and it really needs to be addressed. And I'm hoping that there will be stricter laws, that retailers can't wiggle their way out, and that's the problem. We are not supporting the act
consumers are allowing wiggle room for the retailers. There's a whole list of things that we would like to have included as labels. The difference between free range, cage free, organic. Free range isn't regulated in South Africa at the moment. So,
can I ask this, madam? We in our addressing and trading very much on the line of turning this into being a young. It's not there yet. And that's the point you are raising, the point you are raising, it directs us towards a need for a young. But what we did do, we had a pressing from the Embassy and UWC together with the department and the other departments. It has been only at that level now. And the point you are raising, I'm sure with the number of other, you know, such like you, that they would really take us through a range of those, you know, areas and similar areas of interest. With maybe what you might wish to do, if you have anything written to you, or points that you picked up.
We have quite a bit written, and not with us, but I could do it electronically.
No, before we get there. Let us allow a I think that's what basically, you know, we are getting as a message. You know, there must be a number of similar conditions like yours.
There are.
You might have had an opportunity to be here, probably you are local. And there are a number of others who are not local. To an extent, even, you know, consumers themselves. There's an organization, Consumer Something Something, I can't remember what it is called. That is your organized law, if you like. Then let's not allow you to conclude. That's the long message I'm trying to get across. Let's not allow you to conclude on your point. Let us hold you there and pick on one message that says there's a need for a hearing. That's the message you're putting across to us. Maybe what we need to do at this juncture, let's allow Dr. Kokona to make his final comment, and then we wrap up the meeting. Thank you for those initial inputs that assist us who are seeing those issues forward.
Programming that is doing all about the year.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I'm trying not to say long. Thank you very much. First of all, what we need to thank you is for inviting us to this meeting as the local committee. But I think it's an important thing. I think it needs to start here. First of all, for the committee, we need to start the end here. And there are a lot of all other things that we're going to be working. There are still GMOs that are going to be working. And in any case, there are two most important things for the people that they were actually created by God. All the others were not created by God. They just came because they were there. The first one is agriculture, the second one is that God decided that Adam was.